Milk, minute, milk, minute, milk, minute, yeah.
Milk, 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 milk.
This is Maureen Farrell.
And Heather O'Neill.
And this is the Milk Minute.
We're midwives and lactation professionals,
bringing you the most up-to-date evidence for all things lactation,
so you can feel more confident about feeding your baby,
body positivity,
relationships,
and mental health.
Plus, we laugh a little or a lot along the way.
So join us for another episode.
Welcome, welcome, everyone.
Hey, friends.
Hi, friends. Hey, I'm almost afraid to like bring this up on the podcast because I haven't read the book yet.
We're just going to start right there, aren't we? What's up, Heather?
Have you seen all the buzz about the new thriller novel, You Should Have Told Me, by Leah Conan?
Oh, man. I have seen some articles about that, and I have it on my to-read list.
I have it on my tonight stand to read.
Oh, it's even closer.
Yeah, but I actually have really bad nightmares most of the time, so I have to be really careful about reading thrillers before bed. And I know I need to do it for our people, but I'm, like, nervous.
I'm going to buy it on Audible if I can find it there. Because usually, like, listening to those, like, during the day while I'm driving and stuff makes them less scary.
Yeah. Oh, my God. That's not a bad idea, actually.
Yeah.
So, I haven't read it yet. I've heard it's killer. But the gist of it is a postpartum mom in, like, the first 6 weeks, I believe, postpartum, and her husband disappears while taking care of the baby one night. And another woman turns up dead. So, it's like about that, but also she talks a lot about breastfeeding, I guess, and she talks a lot about, like, the difficulties of it and the stress of being postpartum, and I'm like, well, that's pretty cool that you're bringing that up. And then she's using her platform to write some really meaningful articles about why our system is broken and how we sign off every single episode with, you know, the way we change the system that is not set up for lactating parents. And she's like, hey, it's not set up for lactating parents, so much so that I turned it into a scary story.
Maybe we should get her on the show.
Yeah, maybe she'll That'll come on the show. Leah?
Well, I just got it on Audible while you were talking. I used a credit.
Oh, good job.
I've been hoarding them.
It's Leah, right? Not Leah.
Hold on. It's L-E-A-H.
Yeah.
That is most commonly pronounced Leah, but I've also heard it as Lee, so I don't know which is her.
All right. Well, we'll find out. We'll find out.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you've read it, email us at milkminutepodcast@gmail.com and let me know if I should read it during the daytime or the nighttime if I'm prone to nightmares.
I'll update you guys after I'm done listening.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
What are you reading?
Right now?
Yeah, what are you reading right now?
So I just started another, like, smutty romance book.
Nice. I just finished a smutty romance novel called Electric Gods. Ooh. It was so hilarious.
I just started Broken Bonds.
Oh.
Yeah, if you guys didn't know, we love smut. We just, like, it's not our podcast topics. I don't talk about it all the time, but, like, I'm pretty much down for almost any trope you can think of.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. And I'm just saying, so with the new Avatar movie out, I think a lot of people are realizing, like, why everybody loves Ice Planet Barbarians. Did you read those?
No.
They are really absurd, but good monster smut. Like, alien, like, big blue aliens that look a lot like somebody in that movie.
That's funny. You know what? They've done research on women's brains and sex, obviously, because they're always trying to figure us out and how they can get more of it from us, I think. But
yes.
They pretty much found that when women watch anybody have sex, animal, human, monster, when they think about it, it doesn't matter. We get the same level of arousal.
So, you know what, though? I this year, for, like, the last 6 months, I've just been on, like, a really, like, absurdist fantasy smut, like, kick. You know,
great.
Just, like, anything.
I'm so glad we're going here today.
It's so good. But what I've realized, though, is, like, every book, it's like, okay, that is a werewolf shifter. That is a blue alien. That is a dragon. You know what they all have in common, though? For the most part, these men are very into consent. And, like, very respectful. And I'm like, maybe he does have two dicks, but he's very nice to her.
Wow. like, yeah. Thank you, two dick monster.
Yeah, it's like, and I'll just, like, keep reading this over and over. And I'm like, wow, that was a very respectful statement from whatever that weird animal dude is that we're about to have sex with in the book. Okay.
Oh my God. That's
but maybe
great.
Because we have to imagine absolutely fictional men for that to be true.
Well, I think it is no surprise that the romance novel industry has skyrocketed since COVID, because when you're locked in with your partner for 2 years,
and you gotta spice it up.
You gotta spice it up. And actually, like, totally TMI, mom stopped listening immediately. My friend Abigail loves romance novels, yeah. And so I get them all from her. So she'll just pass them on to me. And I woke my husband up in the middle of the night one night, just for a little quickie.
Oh, yeah.
And he looked at me and he was like, oh my God, I haven't seen you this turned on in like a year. He said, what does Abigail
books,
have you reading over there? And I was like, it's about Aphrodite and, what's her son's name? I don't even remember. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Does it? It doesn't. Ooh.
It was Psyche. Psyche was the girl and Eros was the boy.
Yes, I'm sure it was. Honestly, just like, I'm pretty much willing to give any book a try. There are just very few romance situations that I'm like, that doesn't interest me at all. Most of them, I'm like, why not? It could be fun. Who knows? There's actually a funny, gosh, I can't remember the account. There's a funny TikTok account of this author who just reads like the most absurd romance books she can find, like Santa Claus, candy canes, snowmen. She had a big Christmas thing. A dude who changes into a potato. A balloon animal shifter.
You never know till you try it.
And then like reviews them on TikTok. They are hilarious.
I feel like since you previously told us that you can make balloon animals. Really?
That just changes the context there.
That's too much. That's so freaking funny.
Oh my God.
Well, speaking of our overnight tropes, we are talking about managing our breasts overnight, but not in a sexual way. Unless you want it to be, in which case,
go for it.
Everyone's got their kink. Maybe it's yours. Big, juicy, full boobies overnight. Who knows? We don't judge.
However, we have an interest in keeping you comfortable and keeping your milk supply stable. So one of the questions that we get a lot is, what do I do when my baby starts sleeping through the night? You know, and for a lot of people, they're like, haha, funny, that will never happen to me. I sympathize. However, babies who sleep through the night spontaneously do exist. They feel like a myth to me, but they do exist. Yeah, so, you know, when your baby starts sleeping through the night before you are ready, the question is, like, what do I do? My boobs aren't sleeping through the night. Do I pump? Do I wake the baby to eat? That seems wrong, right? We never want to wake the baby. Yeah, do we, like, just push through the discomfort? What's going on?
Yeah, so we're going to talk about all of that. And reminder that Maureen and I both live in West Virginia, and we do consults in person as well as anywhere in the world with telehealth. And I do accept some insurance, and those links are always in the show notes. So if you are listening at 2 o'clock in the morning with giant full boobs right now, without a romance novel to help you, click on one of those links and we will get you some help.
Absolutely. So before we get really into the nitty gritty, I wanted to thank Ashley G, our new patron.
Ashley, thank you. Thank you for believing in the project and for believing in us. We hope that our content continues to deliver in a way that supports you.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a little break before we answer a question and then we'll get into it.
Imagine a world where you seek lactation care and it's easy, and someone greets you at the door and they're nice to you and they give you a hot cup of tea and let you sit on the couch and talk about all the issues, not just the breastfeeding issues.
What a cozy fantasy. Is there anywhere that's real?
Oh, it's real, girl. It's real. And I've been building it for quite a long time. My business is called Breastfeeding for Busy Moms, and me and every member of my team are trained in our three major tenets, which is accessibility, kindness, and personalization.
If you want to book a consult with Heather or anyone else on her team, you should head over to breastfeedingforbusymoms.com.
We do accept some limited insurance, and we'd be happy to walk you through it if you want to give us a call. And that number's on Google.
So go sit on the cozy couch with Heather at Breastfeeding for Busy Moms.
Love you guys. All right. Welcome back, everybody. We have a question from a listener today. So this question is from Bale Ann from our Facebook group. And Bale says, I am 21 weeks pregnant and have a nursing 16-month-old. Usually she nurses every other day, but she's sick right now and we've been breastfeeding more. I woke up very full of milk and I'm wondering if it's safe to pump to start building a stash for number two.
So, as always, we're not your specific medical provider. I don't know all the details of your pregnancy, but in general, if you start out a pregnancy nursing or pumping, it's going to be safe to continue either one or both of those throughout the pregnancy, right? Barring any complications. So if you're nursing, pumping isn't really going to be that different.
And also, there's really no reason to start building a stash for number two if you're actively nursing a toddler.
Yeah.
We don't typically see milk supply issues in people that successfully breastfed exclusively the first time are still lactating. So like your breasts mm-hmm. are currently in milk making mode. We usually see that transition being really easy, and get some sleep for the love of God.
Yes.
I would prioritize sleep. You're already probably waking up 50 million times to pee in the middle of the night. Yeah, we just don't need to be doing that.
And you know, that's a good segue into this whole episode because, you know, this is the scenario people are faced with, right? You go from nursing, like, say, 2 to 3 times a night to all of a sudden, baby is now sleeping from 8 to 8. And you wake up with full, leaking, painful boobs. You know, the first time it happens, you're like, oh, it's a fluke, whatever. But then it happens again and again. And what do we do? Do we prioritize comfort and pump overnight? Do we prioritize, you know, keep stashing milk overnight? Or do we prioritize sleep?
I bet you know what I did.
I bet you know what I would recommend. However, you know, there's a lot of things we're going to be considering before making a recommendation for you and before you can make a good choice, right? And, you know, when people ask me this question, the first thing that I say is, how old is your baby?
Yeah, we have to really consider the fact that the younger the baby is, the more fragile your milk supply
yes.
is. And it's very, very normal for babies to nurse overnight in the first 3 months, for sure, mm-hmm. 3 months and beyond. But in the first 3 months, definitely we see in the research a correlation between milk supply and overnight nursing.
Yes. And now, mostly those babies are not going to sleep through the night, but sometimes they do. So with a baby that young, yes, we might make the choice then to wake up once and pump at night to maintain that supply. Or to wake baby and feed them, depending on their weight gain.
Right. Yeah. If you've got a baby who's been struggling with weight gain issues, we definitely want to make sure that we are waking them up, not every 2 to 3.
No.
But like every four, five.
One,
you know, we just don't need to be going 12 hours without a feed.
Yes.
If your baby's 2 months old. Like that would be weird.
Mm-hmm.
That would be weird. That would be odd to me.
Yeah. And I've seen it though, you know.
Right. But that is an outlier. And
yeah.
So either way, you're going to want to contact a professional and be like, my 8-week-old slept 12 hours last night. Be like, okay, cool. Let's bring him in.
Yeah.
Let's make sure everything's okay. And you're going to be so engorged. It's going to be really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And also in that first 3 months, they're just a lot more unpredictable. So
yes.
I have seen this more often than not, where your baby sleeps through the mm-hmm. night for the first time and your boobs don't. So you wake up and you pump the next night. You're like, oh, this is it. I'm going to pump. I'm going to build a stash. And then your baby wakes up 20 minutes after you're done pumping.
Every time.
And now you have no milk. Now you have to bottle feed. Now you have to do dishes
yeah.
in the middle of the night. And you're like, God, babies. Yeah. So, yeah. It's consistency.
Yeah.
In that first 3 months, I would say just wake your baby up.
Yeah.
And feed your baby if you're feeling full, or just get some sleep and then don't anticipate anything the next night.
Exactly.
Just go with the flow.
Now, moving ahead, if baby is over 6 months old, we can usually be like a lot more flexible. It's a lot more common for them to sleep through the night and your milk supply is a lot more stable, right? So again, like, you know, we're probably going to be pushing more towards sleep here, and especially over 12 months. Girl, get that sleep.
Oh, yeah. And we do know that, you know, when babies start sleeping through the night, which is technically like, what, 6 hours?
Yeah.
5, 6 hours mm-hmm. of sleeping through the night. our milk composition changes.
Yes.
So when they start going longer stretches between feeds, our body crams in more of the vitamins, minerals, antibodies into a smaller volume. So it's like the equivalent of eating chicken pot pie versus chicken broth. So when you have a newborn and they're nursing every hour to 3 hours, it's more like chicken broth constantly and they have to eat all the time. But when they're eating like six times in a 24-hour period now because they're spacing it out so much and they're eating solid foods, your body is like, okay, I only have a limited amount of milk to get all of these daily requirements of things in it. So let's chock-a-block full it up.
Yes. So, you know, baby's age, one factor to consider. How much milk you normally make is another one. Let's start out by saying we are assuming you have a normal milk supply. You make enough. You make just what your baby eats. Those people, I am not going to recommend that they wake up at night if they have a healthy baby who's gaining well, right? For the most part, your body's going to adjust to the new schedule within a week. And we're going to say, hey, like, you know, empty your breast before bed, use a cold compress, go to sleep, take an ibuprofen, call it a night.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the other option, like you said, I love that you said empty your breast before bed because often baby goes to bed hours before you do.
Yeah.
So if baby's going to bed at 7 p.m., you'll pump or do a dream feed around 10. Sure. So a lot of people will do a dream feed where you sneak in and don't really wake your baby up, but you put him to the breast and then they will go to bed themselves. So either dream feed or empty your breast and go to bed. And sometimes babies wake up at 2 and sometimes they wake up at 6 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, again, I would then recommend emptying when you wake up. You might wake up hours before your baby to go to work, you know, or they might be the one who wakes you up. So that would be a kind of normal way to manage this change. And it gives you flexibility to respond to your baby without having to consider like pumping schedule.
Yeah. The other option is if you wake up and maybe this is the first time it's happened and you're like, oh my gosh, it's 2 a.m. and my baby's still asleep. And you're like holding the mirror under their nose to see if they're making the breath noises.
Yes.
The what are you, how would you say that? The breath sight? What do you
look? To verify that the fog, they're breathing.
The breathing fog on the mirror. You could just do some haka. Like you could just throw the haka on, throw your ladybugs on just to relieve a little bit of that pressure and to let your body know, like, I hear you. I'm not sure what this kid is doing. Right. We're going to see how it goes. They might wake up in an hour. So like, just go back to sleep. It's going to be okay. Pop your ibuprofen at that time. Relieve a little bit of the pressure, but don't pump completely and then go back to sleep. And the next night, if your kid does it again, I would probably still do the haka thing again. Just for comfort. Three nights in a row, I'm like, all right, now I'm going to bed. And at that point in time, it's going to be a lot easier to calm your boobs down than if you had been completely pumping to empty for those two nights before.
Yeah. Now, there are instances where we would be adjusting that plan, right? If you have either an oversupply or low supply. So you want to chat about oversupply first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, oversupply is pretty miserable. And I would say that a lot of people that struggle with oversupply who now are like, quote unquote, regulated and normal, like they've fixed it, they are the most afraid of this scenario.
Oh, yeah, because they've gone through all the mastitis and all the weaning down. If you have not gone through that and you have an oversupply, I always recommend you work with a professional for a plan to reduce your oversupply to be manageable. And I'm not talking about like, oh, I make an extra ounce. No, I'm talking about the people who pump like, you know, 50 ounces a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we need to moderate that.
And we do have a episode on that that we will link in the show notes for you. So we just want to acknowledge that oversuppliers are really afraid of the situation. They're afraid of going too long without feeding because they don't want to get mastitis or a plugged duct. And also they're afraid of pumping too much.
Right, to increase accidentally.
Exactly. So you're kind of between a rock and a hard place, and we feel you on that one.
Yes.
So we would say to either slowly expand the time between your pumps.
Yes, so, at night.
At night, yeah. So do you want to explain that a little
bit? Yeah, so two strategies for this. One is to space out your pumps slowly. Usually I say just start by like a half an hour. If you're an oversupplier, we got to start small, right? So say you pump every night at 8 p.m. and at 11 p.m., et cetera. You would then pump at 8 and 11:30, right? You would just push it out by a half an hour. Wait a couple days, see how it goes. You're like, oh, that does feel fine. Push it out by another half an hour until you're at the point where you have less pumps in general, right? Where you've pushed entirely one of your pumping sessions out, or two, to a place where you feel comfortable and you feel like you're getting more sleep and you're not increasing your supply. The other way that we can deal with this, instead of adjusting the time between pumps, is adjusting the time we spend pumping.
Or the volume.
Yes.
It depends on the person. Some people will pump like 10 ounces in 5 minutes. So if you're that person, you can't really go by time because you barely have.
Yeah. You just have to look at your ounces.
Yeah. You're just going to have to look down or use smaller bottles. So that's one of the ways that I've helped people is like, if you feel it falling on your leg in the middle of the night, you've done overflowed it and you need to stop now. Yeah. So just decreasing that amount of time. So maybe instead of pumping for 20 minutes, you pump for 10 just to take that pressure off. But really, I usually tell people, I don't know if you tell people this, but you really don't need to be pumping more than 6 ounces.
Yeah.
At a time.
Absolutely.
Total.
I agree.
Because your baby is not going to eat more than 5 for sure.
Yeah.
Usually it's more like 3 or 4.
Yeah.
And so if you're doing 6 and your baby eats 4, you're still at an oversupply.
Absolutely. And again, you got to do this slowly if you're pumping a lot of milk. So whether you're cutting time off the pump or you're say, okay, I usually pump 10 ounces, I'm going to go to 8 ounces. That's fine, but do that for a couple of days and see how it feels, and then reduce again and reduce again, you know, because you're going to be at the highest risk for like inflammatory issues like mastitis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if your baby typically only wakes up, let's just do a case study.
Yeah.
If your baby wakes up only once overnight, typically at 2 a.m., and now for the past 3 nights, they've slept from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., then at 2 a.m., when your boobs wake you up, you are going to get up and you're going to pump 2 ounces less than you normally do. And the next night, you're going to pump maybe 3 ounces less than you normally do.
Yeah, you're going to see how it feels, right?
Yeah.
If you pump 2 ounces less and you're like, I feel uncomfortable and I feel engorged, the next night, you're going to do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
If you pump 2 ounces less and you're like, I'm fine, then you're going to keep reducing the next night.
Mm-hmm. Everybody's a little bit different until finally when you're down to about 2 ounces total,
right?
You should be able
to
just
cut
stop.
The pump usually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or you might just have to like throw a hock on for a couple minutes.
Right.
And then cut it after that. But, you know, all of our bodies are so different in the way that they respond to the stimuli around us. So make sure that above all else, you are responsive to your own body.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about managing low supply and sleeping through the night. I tell all my patients who are brand new parents to put a list of soothing techniques on the refrigerator so they can both remember what they've already tried for soothing baby.
I like to put a happy tummy on that list. It's a natural herbal wrap that soothes and relieves pain instantly, and it's so fuzzy.
It's so great. It helps baby sleep at night, resolves colic, gas, or constipation, and it's great because it has a little cute animal on the front for when they're doing tummy time, which provides gentle pressure to help them get their toots out.
And you know what? They're not just for babies. They have them for teens and adults, too.
So if you're struggling with those period pains, get your herbal warm happy tummy wrap today by going to happytummy.com. And if you love us, enter promo code MILKMINUTE10 for 10% off.
That's MILKMINUTE10 for 10% off your happy tummy.
Thank you so much for supporting the show.
Heather, when you were nursing Heidi, did you get thirsty every single time?
Every single time I sat down to nurse, it was like the Sahara Desert had taken up residence in my mouth.
Same. And my go-to drink right now is Liquid IV.
Oh, me too. Liquid IV makes your water work harder because it has a hydration multiplier in it that's great tasting, non-GMO, and it actually has cellular transport technology that delivers hydration to the bloodstream faster and more efficiently than water alone.
You can also get their immune support blend, energy blend, or even one that helps with your sleep health.
My personal favorite is lemon lime, and I think it actually makes me drink water 2 times faster, which is always handy when you have a screaming baby in the room.
I really like the tangerine, and if you want to try that today, you can go to the link in our show notes and use our discount code MILK_MINUTE for 15% off your order.
That's MILK_MINUTE for 15% off your Liquid IV today. Happy drinking.
Welcome back, everybody. So we're moving on from talking about managing that sleep overnight with an oversupply to managing it with low supply. And this is tricky. And I think a lot of people with low supply, again, are really afraid of this because they know if they're cutting out feeds and pumps, they're telling their body they need less milk. And that's like the opposite of what they want to tell their body.
And these people have often already been losing sleep and working really hard to keep their milk supply. And at this point, they're at peak exhaustion. And sometimes they're just at that, that moment where you're like, I hate my body.
Yeah, and they're like, is it worth it at all?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So they come to us as professionals and they're like, what do I do?
Right. I started using my freezer stash. I'm now supplementing with formula. And that's not what I aim to do. So the big thing that, as we've talked about so many times, is that for many people, night feeds are essential for building milk supply. And reminder, that is because prolactin levels, that's the hormone that's like, hey, let's make more milk. Prolactin levels are higher at night because it's actually part of your sleep hormone set. So typically feeds or pumps from like 2 to 7 a.m. around that time are going to be the highest volume and the most effective for sending a message to your body. Hey, hello, please give us some more milk.
Yeah. And so with these people, I tend to lean toward the yes and approach where I'm like, yes, you need to pump overnight. And that means you go to bed when baby goes to bed.
Yes.
So if your baby goes to bed at 8, guess what? You're going to bed at 8. And if your baby sleeps till 6 a.m., you're going to then wake up at 2 and you're going to pump.
Yeah.
So you slept from 8 to 2, and that is technically a good night's sleep, which is good for your supply, but you didn't miss out on that very important window for the prolactin spike in the middle of the night.
Absolutely, right? So we're starting off with evaluation. How much more sleep do you need? we know you need more sleep. What are your goals? Are you okay with where your supply's at? Are you okay with supplementing? You know, and if you want to increase your supply, also, what other ways can we do this other than having you wake up every 2 to 3 hours at night? Right? Because that is no fun.
Yeah, we don't just want to rely on that one pump overnight. Be like, well, if you just pump overnight, that would fix all your issues. We have to prop it up with some other supports.
Exactly. So, you know, I usually say, let's make this as easy as possible so you can get more sleep, right? So we're setting your pumping alarm 2:30 a.m. You're going to pump for 20 minutes. You are not going to get up and go downstairs and get your pump. You're going to wake up and your pump's going to be right next to you with clean stuff, and you're going to have your Series chiller or your mini fridge there also. Mm-hmm. And you're going to pump and close your eyes. You're not going to look at your screen. None of that blue light BS. You're going to, you know, put some music on or read a book. And when you finish pumping, you're going to put it away. You're not getting up again. And you are going back to sleep immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to turn on all the lights. We're not going to do stuff. We're not going to be like, well, while I'm up, I should do the dishes. No, because we're prioritizing sleep and health. And the less that you do and move and look at while you're awake in the middle of the night, the faster you will return to sleep.
Get your snack, too, because know you're going to be hungry.
Get a snacky snack.
When you wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, God.
Yeah, and a cup of water. Just like imagine before you go to sleep, you put your baby to bed and you're like, now I'm going to set up my night station. Mm-hmm. Set that up and then put yourself to bed.
I love the Series chiller for this because it like really gives you that peace of mind that the dog isn't going to come, you know, eat it off the nightstand. Technically, you could, I guess, leave it at room temperature.
You could certainly leave it at room temperature as long as you don't forget to put it in the fridge in the morning.
And you probably will.
But, you know, if you're in like a situation where you're back to work, like it would be totally fine. You could just take it, put it in the cooler and send it to daycare.
Yep.
No problem.
But, you know, if you're like me and you kind of run high on anxiety and if you're worried about your milk being on your nightstand at room temperature and then you're having nightmares about it and then you can't sleep and then you forget it and then you're like, I knew it. I knew I'd forget it. Just get the damn chiller. We have a code. It's MilkMinute15 for 15% off. We'll put that in the show notes as well.
And that thing has saved my booty so many times.
Your booby.
My booty and my boobies when I have forgotten my milk in the car.
Oh, yeah.
when I've come home from work and then in the morning I'm like, oh no, where's my milk? It's still cold in the car. Thank goodness.
Yep. Thank goodness. So we love that thing. Some people will also use the haka. So like we said, overnight, if you use the haka, get the one with the suction cup and the lid. Because I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, yep, I woke up to my dog lapping the milk out of the haka. So that's done.
Do you know last time I did that with the haka where I like did it in the middle of the night and put it away, I forgot to put the little stopper in. And then I woke up and there was a dead ladybug in it.
Shut up. Ew.
I was so mad. Ugh. And it was not really a ladybug. It was one of the Asian lady beetles that stink too.
Ew.
So it was like yucky, stinky. It was terrible. It made me cry a little bit.
You know what? Last night when I was working on prepping these episodes, there was this little gnat buzzing around my head and it landed on my nose. And I swear to God, like Mr. Miyagi, I grabbed it with my two fingers and squished it on my fingers. But it smelled. I had to like get up and go wash my hands.
Gross.
So sorry, love. Get the one with the lid, you guys. Don't. Yeah. Don't be
and remember gross. To put the lid on.
Remember to put the lid on.
That's my problem, is I have the things I need. I just don't remember to use them.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So get the tools you need. And if this is still overwhelming or your baby is a sleep nightmare in itself, please get a sleep coach because we are not sleep coaches.
We're not. We know nothing about it.
But yeah, so if you're like, well, one night my baby is up every hour on the hour, and then the next night they slept 8 hours, and then they're up every hour on the hour, and then they slept 8 hours. What is it? The cauliflower I ate? And I'm like, okay, no, it's not the cauliflower, but this is now beyond me.
Yes, every time someone has a sleep question that's not directly related to breastfeeding, I'm like, you just stepped outside of my comfort experience zone. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
I don't know.
Maybe one day I will take a wonderful continuing education evidence-based course on it, but I have yet to find one of
those. If only there was one.
I know. Anyway, I hope that helps you guys. We really want to encourage you to prioritize sleep and your own health. And, you know, definitely, like, take care of yourself.
Yeah. Please do. All right, let's take a little break. And when we come back, we're going to get to our favorite segment, the award in the alcove.
Yay!
If you're pumping milk away from your baby at all, at work, or wherever you go, you deserve a bougie product to make that easier for you.
You deserve a Series chiller. And frankly, I could not live without one right now.
The Series Chiller is an excellent way to store your breast milk safely, and it keeps your breast milk cold for 24 hours.
It is the only thing I use to transport my breast milk to and from work while I'm working. It's got a sleek and beautiful design, lots of great colors, high quality materials, and manufacturing.
Series Chill also has other products that you might want to check out too. My personal favorite is the Milk Stash.
They have a great nipple shield that actually changes colors, and it's not clear like all the other ones.
And you know how we feel about that.
If you want to have your very own Series Chiller, please go to the link in our show notes and use code MILKMINUTE15 at checkout.
That's MILKMINUTE15 for 15% off your Series Chill products. Enjoy.
And we're back, and we have an award to give, and I'm so excited. All right. This award is for Elizabeth Carpenter. And she told us, I am on breastfeeding journey number 2, and I've made it past the 1-year mark with both of them. My goal is to hit over 2 years with my second like I did for my first. I am an oversupplier, and when my first breastfed, I helped a coworker feed her triplets, and this time I'm actually helping the L&D nurse that delivered my first with feeding her 5th baby. That's super cute.
That is so cute.
Definitely came full circle this time. Absolutely. It did, Elizabeth. Congratulations. I love that you have found many ways to feel really fulfilled in your breastfeeding journey.
Yeah. You're the gift that keeps giving. That's amazing.
Absolutely. And we're going to award you the Round Trip Lactivist Award because you made it all the way around full circle with both babes. Good job.
Great job. And I'm going to close us out with an Apple review, and we do read every single one of these, and we appreciate them so much, and they give us all of the good vibes that we need to keep going. So this is from Boiler HK, Real Moms, Real Talk. I have enjoyed listening to this podcast and the information I've gained from it. The ladies are very straightforward and honest with their information and their own struggles. They make me want to be an IBCLC someday.
As you should.
Oh, that's great. Good luck with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you guys all out there for the appreciation you show us for the work we do. It's really nice.
It is really nice.
And thanks for listening to another episode of the Milk Minute Podcast, you know, especially with our introductory monster smut today.
Yeah. If you read that one about the potato, hit me up.
You gotta let us know.
Let me know what happens. the way we change this big system that is not set up for lactating parents or, you know, parents that want to, like, be alive sexually postpartum in any way. We do that by educating ourselves, our friends, and our loved ones.
If you guys liked this episode or any other, you could consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/milkminutepodcast. And that's it, folks.
I'm just thinking about that potato.
Bye.
Bye.
It's a myth!